The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the epistle for this festival of the Holy Innocents of Bethlehem, the 14th chapter of the Revelation to St. John, the first verse. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. It was at Christmas 1918, the first Christmas after the end of the First World War, that Eric Milner White, the newly appointed dean of King's College Chapel in Cambridge, introduced the familiar service of lessons and carols on Christmas Eve. Right after the invariable opening carol, once in Royal David City, the dean invites the choir and congregation to pray for the whole church and for the whole world, and then finally adds, "Lastly, let us remember all those who rejoice with us, but on another shore and in a greater light, that multitude which no man can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, and with whom in this Lord Jesus we forevermore are one." Among those who rejoice with us, but on another shore and in a greater light, are Saint Stephen, the first martyr, Saint John, Christ's apostle and evangelist, and the Holy Innocents of Bethlehem, whose remembrance the Church has from ancient times kept on the second, third, and on this fourth day of Christmas. Nobody knows why the ancient church decided to remember Saint Stephen, Saint John, and the Holy Innocents on these days right after Christmas Day. But these three festivals do shed further light on the great mystery of the Incarnation, of God in the flesh and blood, in the very humanity that is yours and mine. So how do these three holy days do this? Well, in the prologue to St. John's Gospel, which has always been read at the Divine Service on Christmas morning, we find these words: "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." So it was on that first Christmas, as we read in St. Luke's Gospel, there was no room for him in the inn. And so it has been ever since. And these three holy days that follow Christmas Day underscore that truth. Saint Stephen was rejected and stoned to death because of his witness to Jesus. Saint John was exiled to the island of Patmos for his witness to Jesus. And the infant boys of Bethlehem were killed by the soldiers of bloodthirsty King Herod. Rejection and persecution were the lot of Stephen and John and the infant boys of Bethlehem. And so it continues and will continue as this fallen world continues to reject the Savior, the embodied kindness of God sent for its rescue. I often think that one of the saddest verses in all of Holy Scripture is found in the third chapter of St. John's Gospel. St. John writes, "And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. When the perfect love of God came into this world, perfectly ordinary human beings rejected him and crucified the Lord of glory. King Herod tried to destroy the infant Lord Jesus because Jesus' presence in the world was inconvenient for Herod, his power and his plans. Inconvenient. In our own day, literally millions of unborn human beings have perished because they too are thought to be inconvenient. But we need to remember that it isn't only the abortionists and their clients who are guilty of destroying innocent human beings. Innocent human beings continue to suffer and be killed in so many places in this fallen world because they too are somehow inconvenient. Just pay attention to the news. But we also need to examine ourselves. Have you and I never thought that some clear word and commandment of God is somehow inconvenient for us, for what we want to do? Ask yourself that question. And this is the judgment. that the light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But thanks be to God that the Lord, who willingly came to the manger in Bethlehem, also went willingly to the cross, and there made that full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole fallen, bent world, to set us back on the path of love. There is also this to consider. God's Son came into this fallen world not to rescue isolated individuals, but to gather a community of love, to gather his church out of all the nations, and lead his church to that eternal kingdom which in his love he prepared for us before the foundation of the world. The epistle which has always been read on this festival of the Holy Innocents of Bethlehem gives us a fragment of St. John's vision of the church in heaven. The vision of the 144,000 before the throne of God and the Lamb. That number, 144,000, is like so many numbers in Holy Scripture, perhaps especially in the book of the Revelation to St. John, a symbolic number, a symbolic number. 12 times 12 times 1,000 comes to 144,000. So what does that mean? Well, there were 12 tribes of God's ancient chosen people, Israel. And the church is the new Israel of God. And so the number 144,000 simply means all the redeemed of God, eternally rejoicing in his presence. Among them, St. Stephen, the first martyr, St. John, the beloved disciple, and the innocent children slain by King Herod. It was that 19th century Bavarian pastor, Wilhelm Leia, to whom our own synod owes so much, who once said, "There is one eternal church, part to be found here, and part to be found in eternity. When I was young, I thirsted for an eternal fellowship. Now I know an eternal fellowship, which becomes more and more close and binding. The Holy Church, from it death cannot separate me, but death will for the first time bring me to the complete enjoyment of love and fellowship." The church in heaven. with its Lord. So, lastly, let us remember all those who in this happy Christmas time rejoice with us, but on another shore and in a greater life, that multitude which no man can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, and with whom in this Lord Jesus we forevermore are one. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.